Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Solicitor and author and chair of the Law Society's Task Force for Mental Health and Capacity Law, Áine Hynes, is with me here in studio today to talk about, well, power of attorney. And what exactly is it, Áine?
First of all, can I say thank you very much for having me on today. And I hope I can be of some assistance to your listeners. So what is an enduring power of attorney? Well, a lot of people know what a power of attorney is. And that's, let's say, if you're outside the country and legal documents need to be signed, you can do a power of attorney so somebody else can sign and do things on your behalf. Now, an enduring power of attorney is something that you can put in place to protect you in the future if you lose mental capacity to manage your affairs. So in an enduring power of attorney, you choose somebody to be your attorney or attorneys. You can have more than one to make decisions for you if you lose capacity. And that's a really, really useful thing because you're choosing who you want to make really serious decisions. Those decisions can include where you might live, nursing home care.
You're about your health.
Your health. We have a newish system for managing healthcare decisions called an Advanced Healthcare Directive. But it does cover, EPA will cover selling your property, where you might live, access to your bank accounts, giving gifts to people. So it's a very, very serious legal document.
You're going to answer on you some of the listener questions in a few moments, and quite a few coming in already since we mentioned you were going to be here. It's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. But I mean, I take from what you're saying, so everybody should have an enduring power of attorney then?
Everybody should have an enduring power of attorney.
And this is separate to your will?
This is separate to your will. There is some confusion about wills and enduring power of attorneys because people sometimes call an enduring power of attorney a living will. But it is very different. It is something that can come into force while you're still alive, but when you lose mental capacity, and a will obviously comes into force when you pass away.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the difference.
And is it typically the kind of thing, Áine, that if somebody's going in to make their will, you know, do you then apply or do whatever documentation is required to have the enduring power of attorney?
Sometimes people do their enduring power of attorney with a solicitor. But since 2023, the decision support services have set up an online portal, and typically now people are doing their own enduring power of attorneys and solicitors are not as involved. And the intention of that is that everybody should have an EPA. It's a very good thing. If you didn't put an EPA in place and you were to lose mental capacity in the future, then it would be necessary for a court application to be made. And now that court application is made to the Circuit Court. And that can be very distressing for people and difficult for families.
Because I just know from previous times we've talked about this and heard listener stories here on the programme with regards to enduring power of attorney. Often people think that, you know, your next of kin just becomes the person who'll make those decisions.
No, it depends on the decision. Let's say if there's an urgent medical issue or something like that, then you're not going to be looking for a formal legal document to show you're the person who's the power to make those decisions. But yes, it isn't true to say that the next of kin has all the authority. Without this legal arrangement, such as an EPA, or if someone was made a ward of court, that's the old legislation, you would have to go to court. To the Circuit Court to get what's called a decision-making representative appointed to manage property and your affairs, your personal welfare, where you might live.
So that's why you're saying it's important that we all have this, basically.
Yes, and I know that the decision support services and government have been, you know, have a new campaign to encourage everybody, no matter what age you are, to make an enduring power of attorney. I've acted for families in incredibly tragic situations, a car accident or fall down the stairs, brain injuries, and, you know, there were significant assets to be dealt with by the families, and they had to make court applications because none of us think at this age that we should have an enduring power of attorney to protect yourself in the future and your family.
Would funny you mentioned that listener here's got in touch to say that their mother wants to organise a power of attorney or enduring power of attorney. She's only 60 years of age though, and we think there's no need for it at the moment.
There is a need. at any stage. There are 64,000 people in Ireland with dementia, and there are 4,000 people in Ireland with early onset dementia. And you don't wish that on anybody, but it is just about facing things. You just don't know what's around the corner. And making a decision to be prudent about managing your affairs should happen at any age. 60 is not too young.
Listener questions, 087 1400 106 is the number. Is the process expensive, and how complex is it to do online in the portal?
So it doesn't have to be expensive, especially if you manage it all yourself through the portal. The portal is the MyDSS portal. It is difficult enough to manage, people have said that, but there is a help desk, and there are over 6,500 registered enduring powers of attorney since April 2023. So people are managing to navigate it, and they are managing to do it through the MyDSS portal. But everybody has to have a MyDSS account in order to do this.
That's the social.
When I say everybody, I mean the donor, the person who's making the enduring power of attorney, and the attorneys that they're going to appoint. And that's often something people don't take into account, that the people that they want to appoint, they're called attorneys, they also have to have their own MyDSS account. And that takes time to set up.
Is that a Department of Social Protection, the DSS?
It's the Decision Support Services. And that's the DSS. Sorry for the acronyms.
No, you're okay. Just want to be clear for listeners. So everybody has to have that set up, and basically an account with them.
Exactly. Okay. Before they can do the digital process.
Listener here tells me you have to set up the mygov.ie. They found it an absolute nightmare to manage. Another listener tells me that they found it very cumbersome for the elderly to navigate. It's all online. The decision making service was a total minefield. So for people that do find it difficult, they can go to a solicitor, but that's something.
They can go to a solicitor, or alternatively, they could talk to the help desk in the Decision Support Services. And there is an alternate paper workaround. Instead of having a MyGov ID account, they will do an ID verification process for you manually. And that would entail giving passport details, proof of address. And the DSS, Decision Support Services, will set up your ID verification that way. So that's one workaround. Another workaround is if you really have no access to digital computers, which an awful lot of people who are making EPAs will have that difficulty. If you don't have someone to assist you with all of that, you can talk to the Decision Support Service help desk, and they will give you a paper workaround.
Okay. Listeners, as my children live abroad, somebody told me that with no Irish PPS number, they can't be assigned as a power of attorney. Is that true?
If the person, the attorney, was setting up an account and they were doing it with the DSS, and if they were doing it via MyGov ID, then yes, they would need a PPS number, but there is a workaround, and many attorneys live abroad. And the workaround, as I said, you contact the help desk in the DSS and they will verify your identity with an alternative method rather than mygov.id.
Okay. This texter says, I'm single, I'm in my 70s. I'm wondering, should I be looking at a power of attorney? I have a house that I think I might use for the Fair Deal scheme down the line. My nephew is executor of my will, so presumably he will take control of things.
No, he's not automatically entitled to take control of things if this lady were to lose capacity in the future. If she passes away, then the executor would have control. But if, for example, she was to lose mental capacity in the future, which, fingers crossed, she doesn't and none of us do, but if she were, then she should set up an enduring power of attorney, and she should nominate him as her attorney.
So that's the only way to go around that.
Otherwise, if she did lose mental capacity, that nephew would have to go to the circuit court in order to do the Fair Deal application to access her property.
And there'd be costs then, of course, associated with the trip to the circuit court.
Yes. Yeah. Approximately maybe 5,000 in legal fees.
Okay. So we're noting that as well. Listeners wondering, can you have more than one person?
Yes, you can. You can have more than one person. You can have really, I suppose, as many as you want. And it is a good idea. Certainly.
Why?
As long as families don't end up fighting with each other, it's a good idea. It's a good idea because attorneys may not be in a position themselves. Say if you nominate your spouse to be your attorney and that spouse loses mental capacity, then they can't act as an attorney. So it's good to have substitute attorneys. listed.
But then do you not have too many people making the decisions on your behalf?
Absolutely. I can see it. We can all see it. So you want to be very careful about...
Choose wisely. How do you establish the enduring power of attorney for somebody with an intellectual disability who doesn't understand the process?
Well, I'm very sorry to say that if somebody cannot understand the process, they cannot create an enduring power of attorney. And in, it's simply that they one of the features of an enduring power of attorney is that you must fully understand what you're doing when you enter into this important legal arrangement to appoint somebody to manage everything. And there's a number of steps in that. You have to have a statement of capacity from a legal, a doctor or a healthcare professional to say you have the capacity to understand. Mm. You also have to have a legal practitioner statement, which says, again, that you understand. And there are certain other things that a legal practitioner has to state. So if you have never had mental capacity, then unfortunately, you cannot create an enduring power of attorney. But be careful as well, just because somebody might have, let's say, an intellectual disability or a condition such as Down syndrome, it does not mean that they can't create an enduring power of attorney. Their capacity to do it must be explored carefully. And if they do understand what they're doing, then they can create it.
The DSS, that's where you mentioned
decision
the website.
Decision Support Service,
that's where people can get more information
and
around this as well.
And there's a dedicated Decision Support Service website, MyEPA.
MyEPA. Okay, listen, Anya, we really appreciate you coming in to answer listener questions there today. Anya Hines, solicitor and chair of the Law Society's Task Force for Mental Health and Capacity Law and also author of Irish Legal Capacity and Assisted Decision Making.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.